This is Fresh Air. The HBO comedy series Silicon Valley, about a group of computer programmers trying to launch a company, ends its second season Sunday. Our guest is one of its stars, Kumail Nanjiani, who is also a comic. He was born in Karachi, Pakistan, and moved to the U.S. to attend college in Iowa. He stayed in the States, pursuing his career in stand-up comedy. His 2013 Comedy Central special, Beta Male, is available as an album and can be seen on the Comedy Central website. The second season of his Comedy Central series, The Meltdown, with Jonah and Kumail, premieres on June 30th. Our producer, Anne-Marie Baldonado, has been following Nanjiani's career and recorded an interview with him. They started with a clip from earlier in the current season of Silicon Valley. The employees of the fledgling startup are fighting off competition and a lawsuit from a Google-like company while struggling to raise enough money to stay afloat. Here, Dinesh, played by Kumail Nanjiani, is talking to two other employees, played by Martin Starr and Zach Woods, about their financial problems.
I just donated $5,000 to my cousin Wajid's Kickstarter campaign. He's trying to get an app called Bro off the ground.
Bro?
It's a messaging app that lets you send the word bro to everyone else who has the app.
So it's exactly like the Yo app.
Yes. But less original.
Why don't you just cancel your credit card? That way Kickstarter can't collect your pledge.
Well, I would love to, but he looks up to me. I was always like the cool cousin of the family, you know what I mean?
So, wait.
I can't.
Did you just say you were the cool cousin?
Yeah.
Please explain.
Well, when we were kids, I was the one getting good grades. I was the one who was planning for my future. I would bring gifts for my teachers because they worked so hard. You know, cool stuff. He was always getting in trouble. He got caught smoking opium in the tool shed. He crashed my uncle's motorbike.
And do you think you're the cool one?
Yeah, it's different in Pakistan.
I've never been, but I know it isn't.
That's a scene from this season of Silicon Valley. Kumail Nanjiani, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I read that you majored in computer science and philosophy when you were in college. Did you ever think that programming or being in the tech world was something that was going to be in your future?
Yeah, I thought that's what I was going to be doing. And now I'm sort of doing it in a very sideways, not real, fake, fictional way. But yeah, I mean, when I graduated college, I sort of assumed my life was going to be working with computers. The problem was I wasn't very good at it, and I wasn't interested in it at all. So I, you know, sort of hit 20, and now I have to decide what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So I was really panicking, and I was lucky that I found comedy when I did.
You actually host a podcast called The Indoor Kids about video games. And on your Comedy Central special, Beta Male, you talk about video games. And in particular, you talk about the game Call of Duty, which is, you know, one of those very popular military shooting games. And you said, you know, you're a little bit uncomfortable with those kind of games, but you do find them to be fun. And in a recent version of the game, one of the areas or one of the boards is called Karachi, the city you grew up in. This also made you uncomfortable, but you still wanted to play it. And here you are talking a little bit about the game.
Okay, so the language you speak in Pakistan is Urdu. That's the name of the language you speak, Urdu. But all the street signs in Karachi and Call of Duty are in Arabic. Yeah, it's a completely different language. And I know it does not seem like a big deal, but this game took 3 years to make. If you look at it, the graphics are perfect. You can see individual hair on people's heads. When they run, they sweat. When they run, their shoelaces bounce. All they had to do was Google Pakistan language. They were literally like, what language do they speak in Pakistan? I don't care. I can't get a sideburns even. But it was on sale and I bought it. It's so good! Totally worth selling out my people for.
That's a scene from the Comedy Central special, Beta Male. Can you talk a little bit more about that conflict? That's such a great clip because, you know, you're talking about a part of popular culture that's kind of sketch in terms of, you know, ethnicity and race, but it's still something that you totally enjoy.
Yeah, It's sort of about how, you know, people see that part of the world as being this one vague, you know, brown patch. People don't realize, I mean, you know, people think Pakistan is Middle East. Pakistan is not Middle East. We don't speak Arabic over there. And I think here it kind of doesn't, the way it's portrayed, it's all portrayed as one mass. I mean, honestly, I got really angry about that, and I did that, and then that clip got pretty popular, and I know people at that company saw it, and the new game in Karachi, the signs are still in Arabic. So it has not been fixed yet, and it's the easiest thing in the world to fix, but I think it's like, you know, it doesn't really matter because that nobody cares. And I think I like that clip because it really gets at sort of the tension between representing, you know, a part of the world that maybe needs representation, tension between that and just being a person and doing what I want to do, and, you know, whether I have responsibility to humanizing that part of the world or not.
So you grew up in Karachi, Pakistan. One of the things that you talk about in your Comedy Central special, Beta Male, is how you would sometimes splice, after you discovered porn, you would sometimes record porn onto the middle of popular movies, you know, like splice it in the middle of Jurassic Park, say. So it's almost like there was a bootleg within a bootleg within a bootleg. It was like a triple smuggle of a kind of Western popular culture in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would do that because obviously, you know, I couldn't have my parents find out that I had that, but there was this underground sort of network among my friends of, like, we had one kid who, I don't know how, but he just knew how to get these movies. And so he would then lend them to us. Whenever he went to his house, he would have, like, stacks of them. And so we all befriended him. And then I would hook up my two VCRs and when my parents were out of the house, and movies that I own. I actually did it to Jurassic Park, and I did it to Who Framed Roger Rabbit as well. And sort of like 40 minutes into the movie, I would record some of the porn, and then I would end with the movie again, and that way I wouldn't have to hide these videos from my parents. God, I hope my dad never watched Roger Rabbit when I wasn't around.
Now, you've said that at the beginning you didn't really want to talk about being Pakistani in your comedy. I think you said you didn't want to be like the funny foreign guy. What made you change your mind about that? It seems like in 2009, for example, you had a one-man show called Unpronounceable, and you did sort of talk about your personal background. Why did you change your mind and decide you wanted to talk about it in your comedy?
Well, I realized it was a big part of who I was that I wasn't talking about. I found that a lot of the comedy I'd been doing wasn't very personal. It was more observational. I made a very specific decision to write one show that was going to be very, very personal, that was going to be very different from anything I'd done, that was going to be one story. And I gave myself a few months to write it, and it was really hard, but it was also really, really gratifying, and it actually helped me come to terms with a lot of stuff that had been plaguing me and stuff that had been confusing to me, and it allowed me to articulate a lot of my feelings about, you know, a big part of my life and about where I'm from and stuff.
Can you discuss some of the things that you addressed in that one-man show?
I have to be somewhat vague because for various reasons I had to stop performing that show. So I will say basically it was about me growing up in Pakistan in a very religious Shiite family. Growing up with that and then coming to America and sort of the culture shock of coming to America and how that made me rethink or reexamine a lot of the stuff that I believed. And it's sort of my relationship to where I'm from and how it's affected after I moved to America.
In your comedy, you talk about things like discovering your sexuality, discovering porn, and, you know, even in parts of Silicon Valley, there's a lot of blue material. Was that ever a struggle for you, talking about taboo subjects like sexuality or religion, doing it publicly? Because you did grow up in a very religious environment when you were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I sort of came to terms with was I believe talking about sexuality is very, very important. And I'm from a part of the world where sexuality is very, very repressed. So That was something I made a conscious decision to talk about more, because when I was a little kid, sexuality was demonized and being attracted to someone was a sin. I remember, I talk about this in Beta Male, and it's actually a story that's from Unpronounceable, about the first time I saw Cindy Crawford in a Diet Coke commercial and how devastating it was that I was attracted to her. And so this huge experience of being human was something that was demonized. It's a very, very harmful thing. I mean, you've seen in countries where sexuality is repressed that it can be a very, very negative thing. So I made a decision to talk about it more. In the beginning, it was uncomfortable for me, but I felt like that suddenly I realized it was okay to talk about. So it was kind of thrilling and exciting to discuss it.
How did your family react to the material that you were doing on stage? Or do they see it?
Well, we haven't quite talked about it yet. I knew that there was some stuff, specifically in Unpronounceable, that they were going to have a reaction to. And when it first came out, I did the show in Chicago, and I got reviewed. And, you know, I was happy to see that the reviews were very positive. My parents read some of the reviews, and they saw it. They were very upset, and they thought that it was going to be this really angry piece where I shun where I'm from and religion and stuff. So I sent them a copy of it, and they realized that it's not an angry piece, that a lot of work and thought and hopefully craft went into it. So they liked it, but they did ask me to stop performing it, and that is why I stopped performing that show. And I still feel conflicted about it, because I really am proud of that show, and I do feel like that show has stuff to say that I think people could get something out of. I don't want to say it's important, but I feel like you don't hear the experience of Muslims. I mean, one of the problems with the way that Islam is portrayed in the world is that people don't really have the image of a lax Muslim. I feel like when people think of Islam, they see certain images in their head. They see fanaticism. Unfortunately, that has become the face of Islam. That has become the face of the Muslim. You know, you can think of a non-religious Jewish person. You can think of a lapsed Christian person. But there's really no image of a not strict Muslim person. But unfortunately, me doing that show, there's actual danger in doing it. I still have family back in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. I have a very specific last name. I feel like I'm safe over here, but I'm not sure that people back in Pakistan are safe if I talk about this stuff. As you could tell, I have a very conflicted relationship with where I'm from and my identity and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's still a struggle to negotiate some of it.
I want to play another clip from your special Beta Male, and this is about people calling stuff out to you while you're on the street. This is a story from a time when you're visiting Orange County and you're just in California and just walking around, and someone calls something out to you. Let's take a listen.
I get there, I get out of my car. 10 seconds after I get out of my car, 10 seconds after I get out of my car, this car pulls up. This guy pokes his head out the window, yells at me. He's like, "Hey, Kumar, where's Harold?" And then drives off. 10 seconds, like he'd been waiting in the bushes for weeks. Like, I can't wait for a brown to come to town. I will belittle him with a movie reference. And I got so angry. I thought about it for days. And I was trying to think, why do I get angry when someone's racist to me? And I think it's because when somebody's racist to you, there are no comebacks. There is nothing I can say to get back at this guy, because what am I going to be like? I'm not going to be racist, because I'm not racist. And almost everyone who's racist to me is white, and it's very difficult to be racist to white people. Like, what am I going to be like? Oh, I'm Kumar? Well, you're the main character in most movies that come out. Slam!
So that's a clip from the Comedy Central special, Beta Male. I just want to share a story. I was listening to Beta Male while I was walking home one night. So I was listening to your album, and I just heard that part, and I was laughing at it. And then I'm Asian American, and someone at that exact moment yelled out, "Konnichiwa," to me. And I thought it was just fitting that, that this is what I was listening to. And I was like, and the thing is, when something like that happens, what do I say? It really is, what do you say? What are you going to say? Really? Or I'm not Japanese? Or like, what are you going to say? So
there's
I just thought
nothing.
It was very funny. But at least
when
you get to sort of say
you, yeah, when someone's racist to you, they win. They've won. There's nothing to be said. You've been compressed into one word. There's nothing to do.
So I think you're more well-known now than you were when this album came out. Are people calling your name, calling out your name on the street yet?
Nope. Not at least to be racist to me. It's interesting. Just in the few years since then, the representation of like brown people on TV has changed quite a bit. And I think that goes a long way because, you know, if there's the only brown person you know is Kumar from Harold and Kumar, then that's easy. But if we're represented better, then you can't really do that. And I think it's happening a little bit. I actually saw Cal Penn tweeted a few days ago. He said that someone congratulated him on Silicon Valley. And I was like, okay, good. Now you know how it's been for me for the last 10 years.
Well, Kumail Nanjiani, thanks for joining us at Fresh Air.
Thank you for having me.
Kumail Nanjiani spoke with Fresh Air producer Anne-Marie Baldonado. His HBO series, Silicon Valley, has its season finale this Sunday. The new season of his Comedy Central show, The Meltdown, with Jonah and Kumail, premieres later this month. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, we talk politics. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is expected to announce his presidential run next month and to become a top-tier candidate in the Republican primary. My guest will be New York Times political correspondent Patrick Healy, who writes, more than any of his presidential rivals, Walker is a product of a loose network of conservative donors, think tanks, and talk radio show hosts. I hope you'll join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our associate producer for online media is Molly C.V. Nesper. John Sheehan directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.